Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to take up this message here in just a minute, but I want to give you an update on what is happening in Africa, and I praise the Lord for that. God is bringing a big team to us in July, and we're going to be doing an Encountering God conference, and it will be two separate sites, two streams, one for men, one for women, and it'll be a three-day conference, and we're going to be ministering to the people of the Living Water Church and other churches in that area. And so we ask you to keep that lifted up in your prayers. We're also going to be going to Tanzania again for a crusade in August. And so we praise the Lord for that. God is keeping that door open for big meetings in Tanzania. And so we pray for that. We ask you to also pray for meetings to open up, that we can do crusades in Kenya again. And we pray for the coronavirus to come down in Kenya. And so we thank the Lord for that. Lots of good things happening in Gather the Outcast Ministry in Africa. And of course, we have the radio broadcast here in America to spread the good news of the gospel across America and actually around the world through the internet. So we appreciate you. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And as I spoke last week, spiritual warfare is a big subject. Really, it's all through the Bible. And every day you encounter the enemy, every day you are involved and engaged in spiritual warfare. And so whether you know it or not, you're in a battle for your life. Whether you know it or not, you're in a battle for your soul. And these things that I'm going to be speaking about today have a direct impact and direct inference to your life. And so I would suggest that you take notes, get your Bible out, and follow along as we look at some scripture. Well, where did spiritual warfare start? We looked last week at the Garden of Eden, and of course you all know that story. Adam and Eve were there in a place of bliss, a place of glory, a place of God's presence, and they had all the blessings that went with that place, and yet they fell because Satan came and tempted them. Well, where did Satan come from, and why does he want to destroy us? What is his motive? What is his mission? We look to Isaiah chapter 14 because this is a picture of Satan or Lucifer when he was in heaven, when he was an anointed cherub in heaven. And we'll look at another scripture here that describes his physical body more, or his physical appearance. But in Isaiah, we're looking through a man. Isaiah describes the attributes of Lucifer looking through a man here on this earth, a king here on this earth. And he says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." And then Isaiah goes on to list the will of Lucifer, how Lucifer came into this place of rebellion. And Lucifer was an anointed cherub, as I spoke. He was one of the angels that stood around the throne of God, worshiping God. And he allowed the will and the pride of himself to attempt to exalt himself above the throne of God. And this may be a bit hard to conceptualize, a bit hard to visualize, but at one time, Lucifer was an anointed cherub standing around the throne of God, and he allowed pride, and we're going to look more at his sin, we're going to look more at his downfall in just a minute. But these are the wills, the five wills that Lucifer expressed in his heart, and that led to his downfall from heaven. In verse 13, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven," or "I will go higher into heaven." Number two, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," or above all the angels of God. I will exalt my throne. And so that places him on a par or even above Jehovah God, his creator. And number three, "I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. So he's going to place himself on top of the mount of the congregation. In other words, he's going to be above all the angels and all of the created things which God, Jehovah God, has created. Then he says in verse 14, number 4, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. In other words, he's going to be the highest thing of all creation. And number 5, I will be like the Most High. Well, that was the rebellion of Lucifer. That was the attitude, that was the will that was in his heart, that was the motive. He wanted to be higher than God, he wanted to be like the Most High, but he wanted to sit at the height of the mountain of God, he wanted to be above all the stars of God, above all the creation. And so you see, he was not satisfied with the place where God had him, he was not satisfied humbling himself before God. And so this, beloved, is a picture of us, not just the king that Isaiah was speaking about, but this is also a picture of us when we get full of pride, when we get full of rebellion, when we start to exalt ourselves and we think we don't need God, we can do without God. What do I need God for? I have everything. Look at all this stuff I've accumulated. Look at all these riches. Look at all this wisdom that I have. And so we start to get filled up with our own pride. We start to get filled up with our own enamoring of ourselves. And so as a result of that, we place ourselves in the same position that Lucifer placed himself, and this is where the rebellion then leads to downfall. And so Satan was thrown, or Lucifer was thrown out of heaven, and Jesus spoke in Luke 10, verse 17, when Satan was cast out of heaven, Jesus was speaking to the disciples whom he had sent out to heal the sick and raise the dead. He spoke to them in Luke 10, 17. Then the 70 disciples returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And verse 18, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so Satan was cast down from heaven. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. And then Jesus spoke to the disciples and he said, Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, verse 20, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so you notice Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Well, how did Lucifer, how did Satan come to Adam and Eve? He came as a serpent, and they should have trampled on him, but they entertained him. They listened to Satan, and Eve then was tempted to take fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that led to the downfall of Adam and Eve. And because sin came into their life, we also have to deal with sin in our life. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul talks about through Adam came sin, through one man came sin, and therefore the whole human race is contaminated, you might say, or has to deal with the sin issue. And then Paul says, through one man came sin, but through one man came righteousness, through one man came salvation, through one man came redemption, and that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, so we have to deal with sin. We are in a sinful world. We are born into a sinful world. Yes, you have no conscious desire to sin when you're born. You have no consciousness of sin in your life when you're born. How can you? You're an innocent little child, but still you're born into sin, and that is the life you live. Your parents have sinned, your godmother, your godfather, the doctors, anybody in your life has sinned, and so that is the life that we are born into, and we have to learn to deal with it, and we have to know that the devil is trying to take take you out, and he wants you to agree with his rebellion. He wants you to agree with his pride. He wants you to agree with his attitude. And beloved, you are born. When you are born, you're an innocent little child. You have the Spirit of the living God. First Genesis 1 verse 26 says, we are born in the image of God. And in that image, God says he has given us authority over all the creatures of the earth, or all the cattle of the field, the fish of the sea, and all the creeping things on the earth. So we are born with the image of God. And so our spirit, we are a three-part being, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Our spirit is aligned with God because we are born in his image, and our spirit wants to communicate. Your spirit wants to communicate with God. When you have a desire to pray, when you have a desire to study God's word or to know more in the spirit realm, what's going on in your life, if you have a desire to join a church or to listen to praise and worship music, that is your spirit that is speaking out. That is your spirit that is taking control, and you have a desire to communicate and commune and have knowledge of God. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God at some point, but it isn't happening yet. But you, on an individual basis, you have your battle against the evil one. You have your battle against Lucifer and his demons, the angels, that the stars, the angels that fell with him when he was cast from heaven like lightning. Those angels, those demons, have an assignment to take you out and to try to get you to agree with Lucifer's plan for your life, which is to take you away from God. Their assignment is to take you out and to destroy you and to have you separated from God in hell with the angels, with the demons, for all eternity. That is their plan. That is their desire. And so they work tirelessly day and night. They don't take vacation. They don't have sick leave. The demons are after you all the time. And when you have a higher level of your knowledge and revelation of God, you're going to have higher level of demons after you and approaching you. And so this is the spiritual battle that you are in. This is the spiritual battle that we are all in, and it goes on day and night until the last day you are here on this earth. The devil wants you to join him in his rebellion towards God. Well, 1 Peter 5:8, Peter talks about the devil, and he talks about how he is after you, after me. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. Well, the devil is an imposter. He's a counterfeit. We know Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is the true lion. The devil is a counterfeit lion, but the devil always thinks he has something over Jesus. He thinks he has something over you and over me, and so he walks around beating his chest, and he thinks he is the roaring lion, and he thinks he has control over the whole earth. He hasn't been judged and cast out of the activities of the earth as of yet, but that day is coming when he will be thrown into the lake of fire, when his program and his plan for mankind will be finished. And so Peter says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Beloved, everybody experiences hardship. Everybody experiences suffering. Beloved, as a believer, as a born-again believer with Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ, as a born-again believer in the kingdom of God, you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jehovah God with you. The Holy Spirit abides in you. The Holy Spirit walks with you, and you have them with you every day. You're going to be suffering. You're going to face challenges. You're going to face all kinds of persecution. You're going to face things. It's not a cakewalk in the park. It's not peaches and cream every day. Anybody that tells you just because you're a Christian, you have a cakewalk. No, you're not going to have a cakewalk. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have persecutions. You may even have to give up your life because of your devotion and your love for Jesus Christ. Be prepared for that. It may come here in America more quickly than you can believe. It may come sooner than you have ever thought. But resist the devil. Resist the devil. Even those who have no knowledge of Jesus Christ and are not born again, they have sufferings in the world. But you have the Holy Spirit of God with you. You have the glory of God to go with you as you go through your life. And so Peter says, resist the devil, steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced. People all over the world who are Christians are suffering. Beloved, in the Middle East and places in Asia and Africa, people have routinely been killed, routinely given up their life, routinely been beheaded because of their devotion to Jesus Christ. So understand, whatever little trials and tribulations you may be going through, they are not unique to you. There are billions of Christians around the world who are also suffering. So take strength, take heart. And Peter says, stay steadfast in the faith. Keep believing the Word of God. Keep believing the Word as it's preached to you, as it's spoken to you, as it's prophesied over your life. Keep believing. Stay steadfast in the faith, and you will succeed. You will be the victorious one over the devil in your life. Well, James says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, James says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot give in to the devil. He will continue to tempt you. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. I have certain weaknesses in my life. They may not be the same as yours. The devil knows your weakness. He's had his demons tracking your family, and that's another aspect of spiritual warfare. The demons track your family. They know the history. They know your children. They know what you do on Sunday. They know what you do on Wednesday. They know what you do every single day, every minute of the day. And so you have to resist the devil. Don't give in to him. Don't give in to the pride that he wants to pump you up with. Don't give in, and you resist the devil. And James says he will flee from you. If you are struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with lying or exaggeration or cheating or any of these things, you have to resist. You have to speak against that sin in your life. You have to speak against that tendency in your family. Maybe your family is full of drunks, or maybe your family is full of cheaters or liars or lazy people. Whatever it is in your family that is a hindrance to your walk with God, you speak against that. You say, I speak against alcohol abuse. I speak against drug abuse. I repent of my involvement. I repent of my desire for those things. And you speak against that. I speak against fornication or adultery or lust. I speak against those things. When you speak against that, you renounce it. You renounce the kingdom of the devil, and you exalt or raise up the kingdom of God, the knowledge of God in your life. And that is the way that you come out victorious in spiritual warfare, in your battle against the devil. Well, verse 8, James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So you humble yourself, you stay humble, and you keep praying, you keep rebuking the devil, you keep resisting the devil, you keep speaking against those specific sins in your life that are causing you to stumble. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Beloved, you can have as much of God as you want. If you want to draw close to God, if you want to preach the gospel, you can. If you want to be a prophet, if you want to be an evangelist, you can. You can draw as close to God as you want to draw, and He will continue to woo you. He will continue to draw you close to Him. If you don't want anything to do with God, if you have no desire to have a knowledge of God, you can have that as well, but you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to suffer, and you're going to live in darkness, and you're going to have a struggle in this life, and you're going to be wandering around just like the children of Israel who wandered around in the wilderness, and they all died out there without the knowledge of God. And so you can have as much of God as you want. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Well, I'm going to talk just a minute here about temptation, because the devil will always bring temptation to you. He uses his demons, his minions, his underlings, and he sends them out, and they have an assignment to tempt you, as I spoke, in the way that you are weak, in the way that you don't exhibit strength. That is the place the devil will attack you. He will tempt you. And so when temptation comes, and even Jesus was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus after Jesus had been fasting and been praying for 40 days. The devil came to him and he tempted him in three different ways to try to get Jesus to join the program of the devil here on the earth. And so when temptation comes to you, and I'm sure it comes every day, it comes to me, it comes to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Well, there's a lot in that verse. Let me just highlight a few things. God is saying through the Apostle Paul, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Your temptation is not unique. Yes, it's tailored to your weakness. It's tailored to your history, to your family. But every single man on the earth, even Jesus Christ, suffered from temptation or was tempted to disown God and join the program of the devil. And so when you are tempted, don't think that God is singling you out or the devil is singling you out. Your temptation is common to men and women all over the face of the earth. And Paul goes on to say, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, that is, what you're able to bear. You can hold up against it. You don't have to give in. You don't have to say, okay, devil, you got me because I'm just not strong enough and God's not strong enough. You are able because God will allow you a way of escape, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. And so when the devil comes to you and he tries to talk you into a program that you know goes against God's plan for your life, he tries to talk you into a program that may have temporary benefits, may have temporary joy or fun, but the devil's plan for you eventually is to steal, kill, and destroy from your life, and he will do it. But God will give you a way of escape. Sometimes you just need to pick up your shoes and get out of the place where you're at. You may have to move out of the place you're at. You may have to move out of the relationship, the situation. You may have to shut down your computer or your smartphone. Whatever it is the devil is using to tempt you and take you away from God, you might just have to do something radical and pick up and move out of that situation and get into a situation that God can bless and then God can keep you lifted up and keep you out of the clutches of the devil. Well, next week we're going to be talking about part 3 of spiritual warfare. This is a big subject. We'll probably do 4 sessions on it. And I hope you're enjoying these messages. I hope you are listening and studying your Bible, studying God's Word so that you can move up higher and the Lord will lift you up. You will draw near to God and the Lord will lift you up. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We thank you for your prayers and your contributions. And we invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep these great radio messages coming, but also for the projects we have in Africa to spread the good news of the gospel in Africa and around the world. And so we invite you to do that. We have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast, so listen for that. Stay tuned for that. And we invite you again to partner with this ministry. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down and do it today. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.